right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. The qualifying campaign for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon will end on Tuesday. One of the teams that has officially booked its ticket is four-time Nations Cup champion Ghana. The Black Stars of Ghana completed a successful qualifying campaign with a 3-1 victory against visiting Sao Tome and Principe. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
The Black Stars of Ghana, wrapping up their African Cup of Nations qualification campaign, defeated Sao Tome and Principe by 3-1 to finish top of Group C. The final game played at the Accra Sports Stadium was behind closed doors and no fan was admitted, as in line with CAF directives. Ghana opened the scoreline in the 12th minute and scored its second in the 30th minute. The Black Stars got their third goal in the 60th minute and a faulty pass by Ghanaian keeper Razak Abalora to his opponent, who was just few meters behind the penalty box in the 81st minute, scored a consolation goal for Sao Tome. Black Stars coach C.K. Akono at a post-match conference.
I would like to thank my former boss, in the name of Kwesi Appiah, who started all this. I continue, and finally we've qualified the team to the Nation Cup. I'm glad that we've been able to do that. And so the credit also goes to him, for he started all this. We came into this game knowing that we sort of qualified already. We were not tensed. We wanted to be relaxed in the way we approached this game. There was also a possibility for us to see some other players, which we did today, which has given me a fair idea going forward in the coming qualifier in the World Cup. And so we didn't want to stress too much of tactics. We wanted to enjoy the game. We wanted to go in and, of course, relax and do well to win, to complete what we started. And I think we managed to do that perfectly.
Meanwhile, in the Tokyo Olympics update, Ghanaian sprinter Benjamin Asamati last week qualified after winning a 100-meter race. The 23-year-old West Texas University student finished the race at 9.97 seconds.
Azamati from West Texas A&M running away with this heat from Ghana. It's Azamati winning the heat easily. 9.99, but you got to wait for the win. We've had some pretty big wins. It's legal. 9.97. Fastest time in the world this year.
Here in Accra, all athletes seeking Tokyo 2020 qualifications have intensified their training, preparing for next qualifying events. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kobno Fori in Accra.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Gambia's Belgian football coach, Tom Sanfiet, received a nice birthday present today, Monday, on his 48th birthday. He got a 5-year contract extension after leading the Scorpions of Gambia to their first Nations Cup qualification. Joining us with more details is Pandari Mbai. Sporty greetings, Pandari.
Sporting greetings to you, Sonny. At a ceremony held in Kinshasa today, the Gambian Sports Ministry, in collaboration with the Gambia Football Federation, have decided to extend the contract of the Scorpions Belgian coach, Tom Sanfiet. Under the new arrangement, the contract has been extended to a period of 5 years, beginning from June 2021 to June 2026. Lamin Kababajo is the president of the Gambia Football Federation.
The Gambia Football Federation, in due consultation with the Minister of Youth and Sports, have decided to extend the contract of the head coach of senior national team, Mr. Tom Senfet, weekends, end of May. One of the conditions of the extension was for him to be able to qualify the national team or the country to the 2021 or 2022 AFCON, which has been achieved.
Indeed, Senfet has exceeded the expectations of the Gambia Football Federation. The country is now qualified for the first time to take part in the upcoming AFCON series scheduled next year. Sports Minister Bakary Baji explains the significance of such an event.
You know, one, because it's marking the end of one very successful tenure of what I would call the best coach that Gambia have ever had, you know, anytime in recent times. But it's also the beginning of another working relationship between the Gambia government, the Gambia Football Federation, with Coach Tom.
In response, an excited Coach Senfet had this to say.
I heard a lot of nice words about me, but the achievements we did the last 3 years, it's the achievements of teamwork. It never would have been possible if our president of federation never would have given me in first place confidence to start this job. But not only that, during the time of working, always being supportive, always being assistant in achieving our goals, even when there was pressure from the outside world, always be on our side. So I think that deserves a lot of credits.
The extension of the coach contract coincided with his 48th birthday today. Coach Senfet wants the Scorpions to emerge victorious in today's match in Kinshasa.
Like I said, I'm very happy. This is a beautiful birthday present. I hope if we can get 3 points, they don't have to wrap it. I will accept it as a birthday present tonight. But the most important is I feel very honored. For me, it's the biggest honor to be to represent Gambia as national team coach.
Senfet was appointed coach in July of 2018. He has since transformed the national team into an international contending team. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Pandering by...
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with more Africa Cup of Nations qualifying news. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. South Africa failed to qualify for the 2022 African Cup of Nations after a 2-0 loss to Sudan in the final qualifier match of Group C. It is the first time Sudan have qualified for an African Cup of Nations final since 2012, and only the third time since 1976 for the country that won the trophy in 1970. The Nile Crocodiles win means they leapfrog Bafana Bafana and qualify along with the Black Stars of Ghana, who beat bottom side Sao Tome and Principe 3-1. Crystal Palace forward Jordan Ayew, Nicholas Opoku and Baba Rahman put the Black Stars into a commanding position before late Fernandez Carvalho consolation for Sao Tome. The tiny Comoros Islands qualified for the African Cup of Nations for the first time with a 0-0 draw against Togo to maintain the unbeaten record in the qualifiers. The result advanced the Comoros to 9 points from 5 matches, guaranteeing them a top 2 finish in Group G, a fairy tale achievement for the small island nation. FC Zurich forward Assan Cisse scored around the hour mark for the Scorpions of Gambia as they beat the Palancas Negras of Angola 1-0 at home, and they will be joined in the finals from Group D by Gabon, who hammered the Leopards of the Democratic Republic of Congo 3-0, with Arsenal hitman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang among the scorers. The Pharaohs of Egypt also qualified for a record 25th appearance as Liverpool star Mo Salah returned to their team for the first time since 2019 finals, and they drew 1-1 with 10-man Harambee Stars of Kenya in Nairobi. Sunny, a couple of the upcoming fixtures could decide who takes part in the remaining slots of the 24-team AFCON tournament scheduled to take place in Cameroon. The Cranes of Uganda will be looking to secure their spot when they finish their group campaign away to Malawi on Monday. The visitors are currently second in their section, behind already qualified Burkina Faso, while Malawi occupy third spot, 1 point behind Uganda ahead of the key encounter. In Group E, Mauritania, Burundi and the Central African Republic will battle it out for the second ticket, with the Central African Republic hosting the Al-Murabitoun of Mauritania in Bangui, while the Solas of Burundi plays the already qualified Atlas Lions of Morocco in Rabat. Mozambique hosts Cape Verde in Maputo in Group F, while the already qualified Indomitable Lions of Cameroon will square it off with Rwanda in Douala. In Group I, Congo and Guinea-Bissau will lock horns in Bissau, where the hosts need a win to qualify, as Madagascar entertains Niger, while Ethiopia will be away to the Elephants of Ivory Coast in the battle for second spot in Group K. Benin and the Leon Stars of Sierra Leone are also in the race to secure a second spot, and will lock horns in Freetown in Group L. A draw sees Benin through, while Sierra Leone needs a win to qualify and join Nigeria, who have already qualified for the tournament. Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo stormed off the pitch at full-time when he was denied a stoppage-time winner in Portugal's 2-2 draw in Serbia. Liverpool's Diogo Jota scored two headers for the Group A favourites before Serbia fought back in their World Cup qualifier. The Juventus forward thought he had scored with his angle shot and was aghast when the officials ruled the ball did not cross the line. The Portugal's all-time leading scorer was later booked for protesting and at the final whistle threw his captain's armband to the turf and stormed down the tunnel at the Rajko Mitic Stadium in Belgrade. Zlatan Ibrahimovic also marked his return to international football after a five-year absence with an assist as Sweden beat Georgia in their World Cup 2022 qualifying opener. The 39-year-old's international comeback later continued in style on Sunday as the veteran striker produced an outrageous backheel assist to help Sweden cruise to a 3-0 victory against Kosovo. French footballer of Mauritanian descent Ousmane Dembélé inspired France to a 2-0 victory over Kazakhstan in their second match in World Cup qualifying Group D to mark a successful return to the World Champions' team. 4 days after being held 1-1 by Ukraine, the French built their win in the first half with Sadji Mali's own goal adding to Dembélé's opener before their forward of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe missed a second-half penalty. Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku rescued a point for the Red Devils team in their 1-1 draw against the Czech Republic in Prague. The Inter Milan striker has now scored 36 goals in his past 31 international appearances and is up to 59 goals in 91 caps. England maintained their winning start to the 2022 World Cup qualifying campaign with a comfortable 2-0 victory over Albania, thanks to goals from Harry Kane and Mason Mount. Here's their coach Gareth Southgate's take on the match.
I think we were pleased with that. We controlled most of the game in that period, should have scored more. I didn't particularly like the way we managed the last 15 minutes. I just thought there were some decisions we made that needed to be better in order to either score more or not invite pressure. I thought we could have kept the ball a bit better in those periods. But look, it's a good win, and we move on in healthy condition to Wednesday.
That was England football national team coach Gareth Southgate following his team's comprehensive victory over Albania. The Three Lions have now won each of their past 6 World Cup qualifying matches, the best run since 10 straight wins between 2005 and 2009. German footballer of Ivorian descent Said Nabri's 16th-minute strike and Germany a 1-0 victory in Romania, as Joachim Löw's side secured their second successive win in World Cup qualifying Group J. The win in Bucharest means Germany sit at the top of the group on 6 points, above Armenia on goal difference. And moving on to international friendly matches, Giovanni Reina and Christian Pulisic both scored as the United States beat Northern Ireland 2-1 in a friendly to earn a first victory on European soil since 2015 in Belfast. The 22nd-ranked Americans preparing for a Nations League semi-final against Honduras in June and the start of World Cup qualifying in September have 8 wins and a draw in their past 9 matches, and they have outscored opponents 25-4 in winning 5 consecutive friendlies. They had not won at a European opponent since a 4-3 friendly victory at Germany in June 2015. And Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More African football news. Nigeria's Super Eagles will wrap up a successful Nations Cup qualifying campaign on Tuesday with a home match in Lagos against Lesotho. The Super Eagles top Group L with 11 points, and they've already qualified for the 2022 Nations Cup in Cameroon. Lesotho, meanwhile, is at the bottom of the table with 3 points and has been eliminated. The Reverend Samuel Ikpeya is the president of the Nigeria Football Supporters Club. He says Super Eagles fans will be following COVID-19 protocols on Tuesday, and attendance will be limited.
CAF have come out to say that they will not want more than 5% of the capacity of the stadium. And before now, we in the Nigeria Football Supporters Club will be in the forefront of sanitizing members of the public and the football fans on the protocols of the COVID-19. So come on that day. We will go to the stadium with a controllable size, but at our national secretariat, which is at 114 Funchal Williams, very close to the stadium, all our members will be there drumming and also throwing support for our national team. While those of us at the stadium will also be doing the same thing. Our darling Super Eagles will not lack a single support to ensure that they get the maximum point come on the 30th of March. On that day, all our members, they are disciplined members. Note, both at the CAF and at the FIFA level, we have been offered or awarded the best BA supporters club. So our members are disciplined, and come that day, every one of them will observe the protocols of the COVID-19. We have discussed with some organizations, reputable companies, that are providing us with nose masks and sanitizer. So every one of our members will put on their nose mask and will also have the sanitizer with them.
That's the Reverend Samuel Ikpeya, the president of the Nigeria Football Supporters Club.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. In African basketball, the Ivory Coast edition of the inaugural Jordan Nwora Elite Camp for boys and girls recently ended. Jordan is a 22-year-old forward for the NBA's Milwaukee Bucks team, and he also is a teammate of Ike Diagu on Nigeria's national team, nicknamed the Tigers. To find out more about the camp, Iron Mike Mbonye called Abidjan, where he reached Natasha Cummings Price. She's the head coach of Cameroon's women's national basketball team, as well as the head coach of the women's team at Erie Community College in New York State. Iron Mike asked Coach Cummings Price, what's your assessment of this elite basketball camp?
My assessment is that it was a complete success. We had a total of 40 female basketball players and 60 male basketball players, giving us 100 players to work with. With two courts at time, it became a challenge, but not a challenge that the staff and I could not overcome. All the players were placed in groups and rotated through fundamental stations. So overall, I believe that the instruction that was provided in each station, such as passing, shooting, footwork, ball handling, dribbling, the basic fundamentals that most basketball players sell themselves short on, we were able to provide complete detailed instruction and to help them understand the importance of mastering the fundamentals of the game of basketball. So therefore, we were able to see dramatic change and a difference in their game as they improved each day during the camp.
Did you see or discover budding talents at the camp? Any outstanding female player?
As a collegiate basketball coach, we're always looking for new talent and outstanding players. And some of the players that I identified at the camp was your shooting guard, number 7, Deborah Kiki, and forward, number 22, Kadita Tukita. They were extremely outstanding basketball players that would be, I know for me, an extreme success for my program if we were able to recruit them and bring them over to the United States. There were a few other players throughout the camp that showed some promise, and I know that over time they will continue to improve and get better.
What would be your advice to parents who are reluctant to allow their daughters play basketball?
For parents who are reluctant to allowing their daughter to play basketball, that's a tough question. I would have to ask the question as to why would you be reluctant to allowing your daughter to play the sport of basketball. Basketball provides more than just the ability to stay in shape and learn a great game that is really fun to play, but it also provides you with some life skills that you can take away from the game and utilize in the future, especially when you get your first job. In basketball, you know, you have to work together with your teammates. You have to work together with your coach. And sometimes you don't get along. Sometimes players don't get along. And sometimes coaches and players don't get along. However, at the end of the day, what we learned is that we don't have to like each other to work with each other for our end goal. And that end goal is to obtain that win or, you know, to obtain that championship trophy. In the workplace every day, we work with people we do not like. We work with supervisors that we may not approve of. However, at the end of the day, we have an end goal, and the end goal is to get the job done. So those are some life skills that, you know, I know personally I've taken away from the sport, as well as my own daughter, who right now is playing collegiate softball. And it's an opportunity that I have afforded to her. So I'm not only speaking from experience as a player and a coach, I'm also speaking from experience as a parent. You know, as a parent, I have a daughter that's in college and a son that's in college, and my daughter chose to play a sport, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for her. It's kept her focused on her academics and the sport. It has definitely kept her out of trouble and kept her on the right path academically. So for those parents who are reluctant, you know, I would advise you to at least give your child a chance and help them to understand the importance that when you choose to play that sport, there comes some responsibility.
That's Natasha Cummings Price, the head coach of Cameroon's women's national basketball team. She's also the head coach of the women's team at Erie Community College in New York State. And Coach Cummings Price spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
This is Natasha Cummings Price, head coach for the International Women's Basketball Team of Cameroon and the Erie Community College Women's Basketball Coach. You are listening to Sunnyside Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. In U.S. men's college basketball, top-seeded Gonzaga, UCLA, Michigan, and Southern California all scored victory Sunday to advance to the Elite Eight in the NCAA Championship Tournament. Gonzaga defeated Creighton 83-65. UCLA, winner of a record 11 national titles, beat Alabama 88-78 in overtime. Michigan topped Florida State 76-58. And Southern California beat Oregon 82-68. For more on the victories by Gonzaga and UCLA, here is the AP's Dave Ferry.
Gonzaga's march toward perfection continues after an 83-65 rout of Creighton, putting the Bulldogs in the Elite Eight. The Zags improved to 29-0, won their 33rd in a row since last season, and extended their Division I record of double-digit wins to 26. Drew Timmy scored 22 points, and Andrew Nemhard had 17 with 8 assists for Gonzaga. Nemhard says he had several open teammates.
I think I was just reading the game, reading what the defense was giving to me, and they were kind of putting two guys in the ball sometimes, so the pocket pass was pretty open, so I'm just finding those guys rolling to the rim.
The Bulldogs led 22-12 7 minutes in and spent most of the second half pulling away. Marcus Zagorowski finished with 19 points to lead the Blue Jays. Jaime Jaquez hit two big jumpers early in overtime and finished with 17 points as the 11th-seeded Bruins down number 2 Alabama, 88-78.
We're definitely a confident team, and, you know, we definitely believe in ourselves, even when no one else was or did. So we just believe in each other every single day and knew if we got this opportunity, we were going to take full advantage.
Jaquez and David Singleton took control in overtime after star guard Johnny Juzang fouled out. Singleton's two free throws made it 79-70 with under a minute to go. The Bruins led by 3 until Alex Reese drained a buzzer-beating three-pointer at the end of regulation, giving the Crimson Tide new life. Jules Bernard also scored 17 for the Bruins, who are in the Elite Eight for the first time since 2008 and will take on Michigan. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The Bruins of UCLA are one of two Los Angeles-based schools in the Elite Eight. USC, or the University of Southern California, also advanced with an 82-68 win against Oregon. The AP's Adam Spillane reports.
Sixth-seeded USC is headed to its first Elite Eight since 2001 with an 82-68 West Regional semifinal win over seventh-seeded Oregon. Isaiah White led USC with 22 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 steals on 8 of 10 shooting as the Trojans advanced to take on the tournament's top overall seed Gonzaga in Tuesday's regional final. White says he's proud of what his team has accomplished in this tournament.
We were overlooked a lot. I know it's been a minute since, you know, the USC program has gotten to the Elite Eight. So we're making history, and, you know, it just means a lot to this program.
Eugene Omorui was Oregon's top scorer with 27 points.
Playing with a great group of guys and just a great coaching staff. Just the University of Oregon always having my back, and just being able to come here and graduate and just knock out my goals one by one has been a big thing for me, and I'm going to miss this group. This is definitely my favorite group to play with, and we're just a family on and off the court, so it's a heartbreaking moment right now.
I'm Adam Spillane.
Thanks, Adam. We heard from Eugene Omorui and that heartbreaking moment he experienced. Eugene was born in Nigeria, and he moved to Canada with his family when he was only 1 year old. Eugene transferred to the University of Oregon after playing three seasons at Rutgers University. And that wraps up the March 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.